Peter Esterson is a leading photographer of architecture and interiors. His work regularly appears in major magazines, including Architectural Digest, and he's contributed to many interior design and lifestyle books. His new book is Life Along the Hudson, the Historic Country Estates of the Livingston Family. It is a gorgeous coffee table book that features 36 sublime country homes, many overlooking the Hudson River. Peter Esterson will be signing his new book on Saturday, December 8th at noon at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck. We are thrilled to have him here at the Roundtable. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I am so happy to be here as well.
I'm going to set your microphone so I can actually hear you.
Okay.
You
I'm so happy to be here as well. And certainly Albany featured into the genesis and the research that I did in sort of discovering and looking into this subject. So I'm glad to be here sort of at ground zero.
So tell us about the Albany connection. How did it begin here?
Well, the first Robert Livingston, who is of Scottish descent and his family had moved to Amsterdam. So he was completely bilingual. He moved, he sort of emigrated to Boston and then arrived in Albany, which was then called Beaverwick, in 1673. And because of his bilingual mastery and sort of acumen with foreign languages, he became quite successful here and learned several Native American languages and parlayed his sort of Machiavellian cleverness into an eventual 162,000 acres, which was the manor of Livingston.
So then how did it grow? How did it extrapolate?
It grew. Well, listen, originally he negotiated with the Mohicans for 2,600 acres at the confluence of the Roloff Janssen Kill and the Hudson River and a little section over at the Berkshire Mountains. And when he applied for the royal patent, which actually granted him the title of Lord of Livingston Manor, he finagled his way into including all of the territory in between, which became the 162,000 acres. So sort of sneakily, he acquired a lot of this land originally. And then the family just kept growing and trading. Certainly when they were in Beaverwick and down at the Roloff Janssen Kill, the initial business was the fur trade. As it was with the Astors who came in later, the Astors were the parvenus who came in much later after the Livingstons, and just kept acquiring land, kept intermarrying. The family is sort of famous for marrying cousins, cousins marrying cousins, generation after generation after generation, and hence acquiring a 500-page genealogy, which was published by the Friends of Claremont in 1986, which had 63 Robert Livingstons, which sort of sucked me into the vortex of research.
So do you look at it through photographic eyes, if you will, of saying, well, this is a gorgeous thing to photograph, or is it the story that grabs you and says, okay, this has to take me here?
Well, listen, I'm a photographer. I've been photographing. I started photographing for British Vogue, German Vogue, and Italian Vogue when I was 21.
Which one's best?
Which one is best? At the time, British and Italian Vogue were spectacular.
Pretty good. Okay.
And I was shooting the girls in 18th century homes and Le Corbusier buildings all over Europe, always interested in environment, design, architecture. And as the girls were getting made up and changed, I would just shoot the environments and the rooms and document those. Moved back to America and started shooting interiors and architecture sort of solidly as a second sort of tangent. So my background is photography. So the subject, I'm very visually oriented, obviously, but the subject initiated itself when I bought a home called Stats Hall, which is in Red Hook, in 2010. Which had Livingston associations. It was bought, the property was bought from the Robert Livingston, and was asked to join the board of Claremont, the Friends of Claremont. So it was sort of a combination of my interest in things visual, my interest and complete curiosity, which I needed to satiate for myself in the region, the area, the history. It is I've been in 85 countries. I've traveled all over the world. I've shot all over the world. And this region is spectacular and rife with history and a beautiful, beautiful, singular American story of up to very recently, a very insular but eccentric family who had access to the very best architects, designers, landscape architects in the history of the country.
So you were working with a finite number, right? You had a very, this is how many there are.
Well, the original proposal that I made to Rizzoli was for 12 chapters. And there was a contract for 240 pages after they invited me to actually write this book. This is the first book that I wrote. I've worked on over 60 books just doing photography. This is the first book that I wrote. So the first contract was for 12 to 15 chapters, and there are, in fact, 35 chapters, and we had to leave several of the properties out. But it is a finite, the definition of what got in as a chapter and as a home are the homes along the river, along the Hudson River, just off the Hudson River, which were part of the Livingston Estate.
Are they all, so once you set that number and you say this is going to be my geography, are they all in good shape?
No, they're not. And, you know, what was really amazing to me is they really run the gamut from, you know, I have garden lodges, gatehouses, you know, to the extremes of the Gilded Age opulence. So there are houses that perhaps are long in the tooth. There are houses that are polished within an inch of their life. The defining component is geography and genealogy.
Tell us a little bit about that genealogy.
Well, it's the Livingston family. The Livingston family, you know, Robert Livingston, who I previously mentioned, was working for Van Rensselaer up here, was the Secretary of Indian Affairs, and married a Schuyler. So, you know, there were very few families that intermarried. It was a very insular, sort of incestuous group. So the family married, and, you know, the genealogy. That now there are a million Livingstons all over the country.
And I should have been more specific. I guess I'm interested in the genealogy of the properties, in the sense of whether it be the Roosevelts or the Astors or the Chapmans, the families that came to these homes.
Mm-hmm. They came to these homes through marriage or inheriting. Very often the family had an extraordinary sense of pride of place. So even members of the family that would navigate away from the Hudson Valley very, very often would repatriate back to the region. There's many houses in there which are members of the family who have sort of circled back to the country, and they continue to do so.
How much, one of the things that struck me in the book is, I mean, obviously your intense interest in the subject and of the family and of the genealogy. Do you find that the same way with the family itself?
Well, it is a family. Listen, we crammed at the end to do the final edit. We were sort of doing 24-hour sessions just to get everything edited because it came to our attention that the Livingston family reunion was going to be held at Claremont, which is a New York State Parks Department site in Claremont, in Columbia and Dutchess County. And that was September 22nd. So we were originally thinking of a November drop date and had to sort of rush it up because we wanted to be there and speak to the family. And it is a family that is amazingly, and for good reason, very self-congratulatory. They've written extensively over the last several hundreds of years about themselves, biographies, autobiographies. But I saw a space in that work and documentation of a modern voice and showing a pulse point in 2018 of what these houses look like now, bringing in certainly all of the historical gravitas of like 3 years of research, but also including contemporary voices, anecdotes, funny stories. I mean, it's a very eccentric group of people. So wonderful, wonderful stories about the region.
As a photographer, roughly how long would you spend in each property?
Well, normally when I'm working either on a book with an architect or designer or a magazine, we have a team of people, a stylist, the place is ready to go. This, I really had to pivot. It was me and an assistant, usually just for one day, Normally there's 2 days to sort of photograph a place.
Right.
Funny story is I ran into one of the last chapters, which is owned by Evie Chandler, called Orlot. And she is adorable and wonderful. And she greeted me as I was getting out of the car and asked me if I would be needing more than 10 minutes. So, you know, I am dealing with, in certain homes, the dust bunny is under the bed. And, you know, I'm not a bed stylist or, you know, doing flowers like the wonderful stylists that we work for on commercial or editorial shoots.
Yeah, but you can vacuum up the dust real quick, right?
My assistants have pictures of me on my hands and knees in every single place.
So when they say 10 minutes, obviously you negotiate, right?
Yes, I negotiated, yes. And listen, basically, in one full day, I could sort of get done what I needed to do. And really using natural light and some mirrors to reflect light, but really using sort of available light at this situation.
This is, I was trying to find it and I couldn't when I asked the question about all of these places being in good shape. And I was thinking of this spread, which is The Point. And this is what is the state of this house?
Well, funny that you mention that, because through the publication of this book, I've been asked to be on the Friends of Calvert Vaux, who was the architect who designed The Point. It is an extraordinarily important, picturesque house on Norrie State Park, right next to Stottsburg in Dutchess County.
Yep.
And it is in the most gossamer of condition. It's an very, very, very important piece of architecture.
I mean, show it pretty much boarded up and left, left for dead.
It was appropriated through eminent domain by Robert Moses in 1933, and it has been sitting there since then, despite many efforts to sort of bring it back to life and bring it into a safe condition.
And then how do you get in? I mean, what goes into saying, well, I mean, you obviously hit off because now you're on the board of the place. So
we didn't break in, I promise.
No. But I mean, to go to?
Pam Malcolm at Stottsburg State Historic Site put us in with the Taconic region, and gentleman accompanying us through the property as we were photographing.
Because now there's great beauty and there's glorious photos in here, but there's something that speaks to you about these. I mean, these are just they're haunting. I think maybe my favorite picture in the whole book.
Oh, good.
I mean, but it's just of doors and of these wires that are just sort of there, to ultimately keep the place up, right?
Certainly, it is being kept up by a toothpick at this point. But listen, I mean, I love decay. I love things that are super polished, but I also love patina. I mean, you know, there's a home in there which belongs to the gentleman, Wint Aldrich, who had written the foreword to the book called Rokeby, which is in Red Hook, quite near to where we are in Red Hook. And, you know, there's wallpaper that was selected and put up by Stanford White with some rips and aberrations. And, you know, for certain publications, you might retouch that, but I love keeping the imperfections in the plaster and the paper, and I think that's what makes so many of these places so special and resonate and not be tied together so much as you see in a lot of shelter magazines.
It's a lot of Hillary signs on the book, aren't there?
There was one. I'm really glad you found that.
Well, there's the one here. Poster, and then there's a.
Oh God,
a sign.
You have a good eye. Jesus.
And then there's a sign, and the opening of one of the houses. Yeah, says Hillary
in the entrance at the Sosnovs house at Atlanta. Yeah,
I think that's.
I was
very
happy to put that in. I'm sorry.
I can understand.
To leave that.
Are pools a big thing? I asked that question because it is, you know, it is Northern New York.
Pools are not a big thing. There's a couple of houses that do have pools. Certainly the house with the, the Sosnov house. But no. You know what's big up there is libraries.
Oh, and they're gorgeous libraries.
And libraries, as opposed to Newport that had ballrooms, these houses had libraries. And there is an extraordinary literary tradition. Thomas Wolfe wrote there. Henry James, Edith Wharton, obviously based Bellamont on Stottsburg. So there's an extraordinary literary tradition. An academic tradition in the area. So we have libraries, not a lot of ballrooms.
The book is stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. It is entitled Life Along the Hudson, the Historic Country Estates of the Livingston Family. Peter Esterson will be signing his new book on Saturday, the day after tomorrow, December 8th. No, next week, right? It's a week.
Yes, it's
December
a week's 8th.
Time, yeah. That's right. You got a week. December 8th at noon at Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck. And you can find out more information about that event by going to their website, oblongbooks.com. We also have a link to that at our website, wamc.org, which accompanies this interview. Again, Peter Esterson's new book is Life Along the Hudson, the Historic Country Estates of the Livingston Family. The book is published by Rizzoli. Peter, thank you very much for
sharing
with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.